You're loud.
All right, praise God.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
He is all we need. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you that we're able to share with one another, to comfort one another, to help one another throughout this life. That's the way you meant for us to operate as a church. We come together, Lord, to seek your will, to seek your face, to build our relationship with you and with each other. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for your provision. Open our hearts to hear your word today, Lord, and speak through me. I trust that I may not know what I'm saying, but you do.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Got a lot of squelch, Pastor.
I don't think it's wired very good. Sure, what's causing that?
There we go.
There we go. Just until I hit it again.
Just stand right there. Don't move.
If I were to ask you, why did you come to church today?
Praise the Lord.
What? I'm not, because there are too many people here.
Oh.
But we might have any number of answers to that question. And they're all good answers. Are we here to worship God? That's certainly not a bad answer. It is, in fact, our desire to be worshipers of God.
Amen.
It's a good reason to be here. One can and should worship God, though, everywhere.
Amen.
Is it because he said to? Like it says in Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Well, obedience is good. It's a good reason to be here.
Amen.
And how are we to, as it says in that same passage, stimulate one another to love and good deeds if we're not together? We can't, if we're to encourage one another, which it also says there, we have to be together for that to happen.
Amen.
And it says that it's a greater importance the closer the day draws nigh. The tougher things get, the more we need that. And if you are a super holy Christian, or maybe just super sanctimonious, you might say, well, I'm here to give. Quoting Jesus, it is more blessed to give than receive. Paul says that out of Acts chapter 20, verse 35. So that really is a good reason. And hopefully we're all moving toward that goal. And that being part of why we come. We should come to accept to give first as well as to receive.
That's right. Amen.
There might be other reasons that we're coming. We might come for the social interaction, except we don't call it that. We've got to Christianize it, so we call it fellowship.
Amen.
And the church ought to provide this. As I was saying, we can't do these other things we've talked about unless we're together, unless we're sharing and talking together and involved in each other's lives. Mm-hmm. Are we here because we need our needs met? Physical, emotional, spiritual. Well, church should be a place where these things can happen.
That's right.
It's not a bad thing. But in the church, I would say it's pretty safe to say, especially since you pretty well know everybody here, everybody that has showed up today that will at least lay claim to the term Christian, and probably really is. We say that we follow Christ. In fact, some people have come to prefer that term, Christ follower or Jesus follower, because especially in other parts of the world, and even to some degree here, Christian has become more of a cultural thing. It's not so much here anymore. Actually, it's sort of gone the other way. Some places, you're a Christian just because that's the way you were born. If you were born into a Christian family, that makes you a Christian. So they started taking, using the term Christ follower, to say, no, I'm something more than this cultural label. I follow Jesus. The question is always, is it true? Where's the evidence?
Yeah.
And then the question, the big question of the day, why? We're going to look at a passage today from the book of John, chapter 1. For the sake of time, we're just going to read five verses, but they're, this is part of a larger story. We'll kind of go over it. But it says, again the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked, and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is translated means teacher, where are you staying? And he said to them, come and you will see. And they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. There's 3 days here that are mentioned in this passage. We just covered one of them. But on the first day, you read a few verses back, the Pharisees are grilling John the Baptist. John the Baptist is testifying to Jesus. They're grilling, who are you? And they go through this list of people. Are you this person? No. Are you this person? No. Are you the Messiah? No. But he's standing right there among you, and you don't know who he is. And then the second day, Jesus comes to John, and John again declares who he is and relates how he saw the Holy Spirit coming down on him in the form of a dove.
Amen.
The baptism actually probably happens earlier than that, because the other Gospels tell us that immediately after he was baptized, he went into the wilderness for 40 days, and there might have been some time up front. We're not given enough specifics to construct this with a high degree of certainty. But it looks to me anyway like the day that, like he had already come back from the wilderness, but he hadn't officially started his ministry yet. He's now just beginning to collect those who are going to become his disciples. Then on the third day, the day that we're looking at here, John again points out to his disciples, Jesus, as he's walking. This is an unusual thing culturally for them to do. It's common for a rabbi to have followers that would follow him around and learn from him. But there was also a good deal of competition. So what John does here is somewhat unusual in that he's pointing to somebody else. He's essentially saying, there's the guy you ought to be following. But John did that. John the Baptist's whole point in life, his whole mission, was to point to Jesus.
That's right.
That's our mission too.
Amen.
So they follow. One of them is Andrew, Peter's brother, tells us that a couple verses beyond what we read. The other could have been John the Baptist himself. That's what is commonly thought, although we don't know for sure. If it is John, he doesn't use the same qualifier for himself that he will use later, the disciple whom Jesus loved. But then in the narrative, they didn't know each other very well yet, so maybe it wouldn't have been appropriate to put it there. So maybe, maybe not. But afterwards, on the next day, you find Andrew going and getting Peter, and Peter comes and gets his new name. He's actually not, he's Simon in this story up to that point. And of course, John uses the word, we talked about that, and we talked about Peter. John uses the word Cephas, but it's the Greek translation of the same name.
Right.
The next day, he finds Philip, and Philip goes and brings Nathanael. He's got five of his disciples there. But the calling, the official calling of them to become his disciple, isn't going to come until later. Because you find in the other Gospels that they are called after he returns, or after he finds out that John the Baptist has been put in prison, has been put in custody. So this can't be the same incident. This had to happen later. One of the commentators that I read said it was another year before that happened. But he says in this, the Lamb of God. Now that's a loaded statement there. Mm-hmm. Now presumably, those disciples were with John on the previous day when he said, when he added more to that, he said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
This is the one that I've been talking about, he said. I'm not worthy even untie the shoelaces. He talks about having seen the Spirit, descending on him. And he said, he's the one that's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And he also called him the Son of God. Mm-hmm. So when he points it out to these two, it's no wonder that they call him. But a lamb, by nature, if you know anything about the Old Testament law, for him to be called the Lamb of God, well, the whole point of a lamb is that the lamb gets sacrificed. So this must have been a very intriguing picture. How's this going to work? Because they didn't yet understand. It becomes clear as you read through the Gospels. They didn't understand it until it happened. But John says, this is the guy you should be following, and so they do. Then he turns to them and he asks them, and I looked, nobody seemed to have a lot to say about this, but I think it's the most important question that he asks them. And he asks all of us the same question. What do you see? It's a question for any follower. What are you looking for? Are you looking for an intellectual stimulation? Follow a great teacher? Learn something maybe? Are you looking for the influence and power that comes from following the right person that sure would become a factor later? Are you looking for the prestige? What do you seek? Now, then they respond with a question, which is kind of odd to our perspective. But according to some of the commentary, that was a common way of saying that we want to visit with you. Asking where you're staying. They're asking for a visit. And Jesus' response is a common rejoinder for that. Mm-hmm. But I think this is also the answer that Jesus was looking for. They've heard what John said and they believed it. And they're asking for time with Jesus. We want to get to know you. And this is the right answer. They've said, we are seeking you. What do you seek? We're seeking you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. This is just the beginning. We would see other things, other selfish worldly concerns begin to crowd out that initial instinct as they travel with Jesus. As you see them arguing over who's going to be the greatest. As you see James and John and their mom trying to curry favor and get special places in this kingdom that they think is going to happen on earth. Some were looking for material gain, like Judas. who John said used to steal out of the money box. Some would try to deflect him from his mission out of a misguided understanding like Peter did. But in the end, they would all come to see, except for Judas, of course. They would all come to see. They would all come to understand. And they all would become true, dedicated followers of the risen Lord Jesus. And so the question remains for us as individuals. What do you seek? Are you seeking insurance? I've asked myself this question because I've watched what people do that don't know the Lord. I've watched how their lives go. I've watched how bad decisions lead to bad consequences. And it doesn't really take a genius to figure out that really the best way to live is the way God told us to live. So is that really what I'm doing? Am I just doing what's best for me? I've asked myself that question. Or doing only what we think that we have to do to make sure that we have that box checked. Some have been misled into thinking all they need to do is say prayer. But if there's no commitment behind that prayer, if there's no heart change behind that prayer hits the ceiling, folks.
Yes, it's true.
And to simply do what we think we have to do, Jesus himself said, is not enough. He says in Luke 17:10, I used to have this on my wall at work. So you too, when you have done all the things which you are commanded, which are commanded you, say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. Or we believe whatever it is that leaves us with the license to do whatever it is that we want to do. Paul talks about this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, where he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside the myths. Or are we seeking personal gratification of some kind? Do we hope to gain prosperity? Do we hope to gain comfort? Do we hope to gain some kind of power? Or perhaps to fulfill a real need? Not all these things are bad. And in fact, some of them, those which are not bad, do come with walking in the Spirit. But Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you.
True.
Or do we seek relationship with Jesus? That's what he wants.
Yes.
This is why he laid it all on the line and died for us, so that we would be able to have a relationship with God. So that we would be able to come right into the throne room of the holy God. Because all of the sin that would have caused us to instantly die if we did such a thing,
that's right,
has been taken away.
Amen.
And this is why the greatest commandment Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with everything you are. And the greatest expression of that love we can have on earth is to love each other.
Amen.
Jesus said a few verses later in Matthew, seek and you will find. What do we seek then as a church? Do we want to grow? Well, growing's a good thing, because what's growing is what's not growing is dying. And we don't want to die. The kind of growth matters. Sometimes I'm not, never been much of a gardener, so I'm getting in an area that I don't really know a whole lot about. But sometimes when things are growing, you find parts of it that are diseased, and you've got to cut them out. You don't want that to grow, because it's going to eventually cause harm to the overall plant. Sometimes growth happens in a way that's out of control, that's actually going to cut out the light, and so that the plant doesn't grow as well as it should. So you prune and you shape and you guide that growth. We want to grow, but we want to grow in a way that's healthy.
That's right. Amen.
And what that means is staying attached to the root, staying attached to the vine, staying attached to the source of our life.
Amen.
Source of our life is Jesus.
It's true.
Do we want to see signs? Well, yeah, that'd be nice. But Jesus warned. Jesus provided many signs himself, in fact. But he also warned against seeking after the signs themselves. He said, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. Because the signs are not the goal. Jesus is the goal.
Amen.
Do we want to be recognized for our good works or for our holiness? Well, we would hope that would happen. Mm-hmm. But such praise is fleeting. It's there and gone. We get our moment on our 15 minutes of fame, then we're forgotten. Mm-hmm. And that would be, if that's what we seek, if that's what we go for, Jesus said that's going to be our full reward. That's all we get. To do, do we seek to do what he gave us to do? Well, we should. And it is an act of loving service to him when we act on the things that we believe he's told us to do. But even in this, we can lose our objective. We can start doing, okay, we know he's told us to do this, so then we start making our own plans about how we're going to do it, and we leave him out. And that's a problem. We've got to stay connected. We've got to stay in prayer.
Amen.
We are his church. We are always to be his church. And we desire to have an active and vibrant relationship with Jesus. An active and vibrant relationship where the Holy Spirit is present and active. Where we are able to hear him and willing to obey.
Amen.
We want to hate the things that he hates and love the things that he loves.
That's right.
He hates sin because sin hurts the people that he loves.
Amen.
He loves people. What does it look like for us? All of us individually seeking that relationship to him, that's the first step. Because the church is simply a collection of individuals together. So we need individually to keep our hearts right.
That's true.
All of us then, walking in obedience, doing those things which he's called us individually to do. Mm-hmm. And they'll fit together because he's called us all to be here together.
Yeah.
Working together, praying together, and responding to the Spirit's leading. Mm-hmm. I know I've shared similar things to this before, but it bears repeating. I don't want to try to go where God's already been. I don't want to go chasing after experiences or things that he has done in the past. I don't want to try to pull him back or conjure him up by repeating some experience that has worked somewhere else. I want our church to be like those first two disciples and ask, Lord, where are you staying? That's where we want to be.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us, that we are your people, mm-hmm. that you have set us apart, that you have drawn us together, that you have given us a mission and a purpose. Lord, show us how to go forth and to go out and to fulfill that purpose, all while staying open and able to hear from you, to be guided every step of the way, so that what blooms in this spot is the wonderful thing that you planted. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
What's our time looking like?
4:05.
Well, we do have something else that we want to do today. So I would like to keep our invitation short.